And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope y'all are doing well. My name is Carter Brantley, and you are joining RBLR Bucks. We are here to talk about the first preseason game. We're going to be talking about the biggest news of the day. We'll have that be a little surprise for y'all, but it's going to be a great show. We've got a lot to talk about. Even though it was week one of the preseason, there's still a lot to take away, or maybe not as much to take away. We'll talk about that too, but regardless, I can't go any further without introducing my wonderful co-host, Mr. Tyler Vassallo. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am living the life. We are quickly approaching the semester's beginning, so it is
yes,
kind of the last week of summer right here.
Yeah, I know we've been at my job, because I work at USF now, we've been dealing with a lot of the move-in folks, and
I'm sure that's a joy.
Ooh, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun for parking and traffic and whatnot. I'm just kidding. It is exciting for the semester to be getting started back up, because that means football is right around the corner, whether it be college or the NFL. And obviously in this case, we're talking the NFL. So give us a like or subscribe if this is your first time joining us. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. We'd really appreciate it. But anyways, we'll get right into it, because why not? Vita Vea, he is now... No more trade talk. No more. Will he stay or will he go? He's here. So that's exciting. And Tyler, give us the rundown on the contract, what this means for the Bucks. Any other initial thoughts on the contract when it first came across your feet?
Yeah, I thought this was a very fair deal. Initially, I was a little taken aback because they announced it as a 1-year extension for $30 million, which would be a hefty price tag to pay for Vita Vea.
Right.
No, it's $30 million,
mm-hmm.
and then they're gonna shift some of that money to this year because they still have extra cap space laying around, I guess. And so it'll be roughly 2 more years of Vita Vea for $24 million a year.
Okay.
And they're saying that the way that it's being announced, through reporters via agents, is that it's a fully guaranteed extension. Who knows what that really means?
whether that
means just the $30 million extension or the money this year, because I'm fairly certain he had no more guaranteed money on his contract like this season. I think it's a very fair deal. It slots him right around Zach Allen and Milton Williams in terms of average money per year.
So not that seems about fair.
I think it's very fair because he's still below Jordan Davis and Dexter Lawrence. But he's ahead of guys like Aleem McNeil and Derek Brown. So I think that that's probably a good spot for him. And honestly, still might be a little bit of an underpay. But in light of that news, like the interior defensive line contract board is going to look real funky, because Dexter Lawrence is nowhere near the top now.
Yeah.
He's like fifth or sixth now. You got like Jalen Carter, Quinnen Williams, Chris Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, all ahead of him, which is just a little silly. It's the NFL. The guy with the best contract is the one who is coming next. So
right, and it's always tough with Dexter because he had such a rough last season, and injuries, blah 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 blah. But he went over to Cincinnati. Cincinnati notoriously frugal, to say it kindly. there's a lot of context, there's a lot of this, that, and the other with Dexter Lawrence, but at the same time, like, he is younger than Vita Vea, he is I believe younger than Chris Jones too, but Chris Jones obviously a different player and in a different situation where I don't know, it's interesting. I find the whole conversation so fascinating because they're all playing kind of different roles. Like, Chris Jones is not Vita Vea and vice versa. Like, they do very different things.
Right.
So while they play the same position, it's always fascinating to me to compare their salaries because their roles are very different. They do very different things on the field. I don't know what this means moving forward for the rest of the Bucks seeking extensions. Because I know Chase McLaughlin came out and said he wanted an extension. Of course, that's the first name you think of when you think of a Bucks extension.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest. He's in the conversation for like top like three kickers in Bucs history. So
yeah, I mean, that's a very, yeah, right, right. I mean, it's not, although my boy Ryan Succop, I was a huge Ryan Succop guy when he was, slinging that leg, for the Bucs. Yeah, McLaughlin's been great. You know, he's been very good. And, I remember when they brought him in and they replaced Succop, it was like, oh, well, McLaughlin's going to provide a little bit more length. He'll be able to hit longer kicks and all that stuff. And, you know, so far that's been true. Like, that's pretty been much, borne out. But no, we're talking a lot about Chase McLaughlin here when in reality, I think what people really want to hear about is what this means for Baker Mayfield. Like, does this change the landscape there? Does this, is this kind of the Bucs saying, you know, frig off Baker, like this is, you know, we care about Vita Vea, we don't care. I wouldn't read that much into it, but I am curious as to your thoughts as to how this affects, or maybe it doesn't affect, the Baker conversations moving forward.
I mean, yeah, I definitely think it'll have an impact. It's not a small contract that they're adding onto the cap table for next
right.
year.
Yeah.
But they don't have a ton of guys on contract past this season, honestly. Yeah. Outside of some of the younger players, but they're going to have quite a few free agents next offseason, including Cody Mauch, Yaya Diaby, Chase McLaughlin, Sean Tucker, Riley Dixon, which, you know,
right,
Co-Keeft, and then pretty much all of your backup offensive and defensive linemen. So
yeah,
it could get a little hairy.
Yeah, but I do think it probably has more of an impact on Cody Mauch's maybe prospects. Man, that would be tough to lose.
Such a replaceable position,
right? But even then, it's like Cody Mauch's been pretty good. But you look around the NFL at some of the contracts that these other interior offensive linemen are getting, and you're like, good golly, I don't think the Bucs can afford that, and to re-sign Vea and to re-sign Baker. And you know, you got to prioritize here, right? Like, it's Cody Mauch missed almost all of last season. Like,
and honestly, I'm going to say that you probably would have wanted to get the Yaya Diaby extension in this offseason too.
Right. Yeah. Yaya Diaby is another question, but you know,
because he's seemed like he's primed for a breakout season for like all, honestly, every year has been a breakout season for him potentially.
Right. And so, what's tough about him is that he's been good. Like, he hasn't been bad. Like, he's been a solid,
just not
pass rusher, just not great. Yeah, so but those types of guys get paid, you know, like,
yeah,
slightly above average to average pass rushers are a valuable commodity.
Well,
in NFL
Muhammad, we gave him what, $11 million?
Yeah, Yaya Diaby's much younger than Muhammad was this past offseason. So Diaby's going to hit the market, and he's also got the upside and the whole, like, well, the constant breakout potential. Yeah. Even if he doesn't necessarily do that this season,
outside of the Todd Bowles scheme.
Right, exactly. So there's a lot of weirdness that could go into that negotiation, because I think people think of Yaya Diaby as kind of this, like you said, perennial breakout candidate who hasn't quite produced to his potential. But in free agency, I mean, like you said, whoever the highest paid guy is always the guy who's available next. Like, it's whoever the best free agent is next year. And I'm not saying Yaya Diaby's going to set the market for edge rushers or anything like
right.
that. But
he's going to benefit from whoever does.
Exactly. And he's going to very much, I mean, the cap is constantly rising, inflation, blah, blah, blah. So when he hits the free agent market, I think some Bucs fans might get a little bit of a sticker shock from the contract he gets, whether it's from the Bucs or whether it's elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I'll be really curious to see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, obviously the Vea signing plays a factor into it, because, like you said, it's another contract on the books. So yeah, I don't know, man. The Bucs are going to have a lot of difficult conversations, a lot of difficult decisions to be made this offseason. And I don't really have a good answer. Like, I don't know what I would do. The good news is they have a whole season to play out. Like, if Yaya Diaby goes out there and has a dominant balls to the wall season, same with Baker, if they have a great season, if Yaya Diaby has a great season, then I think the Bucs are probably comfortably sailing. Yeah, he's probably gone, and B, luckily the Bucs are going to sail to the postseason and maybe have a pretty good playoff run. So even if he's gone, you know, hey, thanks for your service, go get paid, brother. You know, you did your thing. And that's kind of how I feel about Baker too. Like, if Baker goes out and has a great season, well, then that means that the Bucs have a great season too. So even if he resigns or if he doesn't resign, you know, at least he had a great season, and we'll get to watch some good Bucs football either way, you know?
Right. Right. That's true. Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head. the tricky part to me is that if these players do end up having great individual seasons and the Bucks miss the mark, it will hurt so badly.
Oh yeah, that'd be a tough pill to swallow. I don't know what would have to go wrong for Yaya Diaby to have like a double digit sack season and for Baker Mayfield to have like I know Pro Bowls don't really mean anything anymore, but like that standard of a season, regardless of y'all get what I'm saying. Like a top 10
quarterback. I think it would be either or. I don't think they would both have a great season and the Bucks are bad.
Yeah.
I think them having bad seasons would be indicative of one side of the ball being worse than the other.
Of course. Yes. That's a good point. But that would obviously be tough. But if either one of them has a good season and the other doesn't, and maybe the Bucks miss the playoffs, yeah, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow because. But in that case, maybe they can justify it by paying the other slightly less and paying, you know what I mean? Like paying one guy a lot and being able to retain the other guy because he had a bit of a down year. And you know how Jason Light loves his, you know, to bring back his guys. Like that's his thing, which for better or for worse, like that's his standard operating procedure. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting storyline. Any other thoughts on the Vea extension or how this impacts the Bucks moving forward before we move on?
I mean, you know, with Vea, I don't want to say officially, but you know, officially on the team headed into the season, this defensive line looks pretty nasty to me. I definitely think they're right there on the fringe of like the top 10 in the league.
Very easily.
Really, really the potential to go higher because I still think Yaya Diaby is a question mark. And Ruben Bain is maybe three question marks all put together.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, obviously they're clips from practice, but, you know, he's beating Luke Gadecki in one-on-ones. He's beating Tristan Wirfs in one-on-ones. Like,
yeah, he's making Luke Gadecki really angry, which, like, yeah. I haven't seen Luke Gadecki ever. I mean, he's, you know, it's Luke Gadecki. Like, he's a great, you know, great right tackle and all. But,
one of the best.
Kind of blends in with the background for the most part, like, you know, in a good way, because like you said, he's one of the best. But to get him all worked up, that's definitely interesting.
Yeah, my dad always says, you ever hear an offensive lineman get his name called, it's not a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Offensive lineman getting attention is never a good thing. Except for, I guess, left tackles because they get all the flowers and whatnot.
Right.
But I don't know. That'll be really interesting to think about their defensive line. I'm trying to think like, in the context of the rest of the NFL, I mean, obviously the Rams are the first team that comes to mind.
The
Rams,
the Texans, the Seahawks.
Probably easily the top three. Oh, man. I mean, the Lions with Aiden Hutchinson, but man, the other side of that line is brutal. And I'd still probably take the Lions over the I don't know. That's a tough one. There's just so much to, I mean, we'll find out, you know, we're having this conversation way prematurely and we'll find out, but it is a fun conversation to have because there's a lot of really, you know, there's a lot of really talented defensive lines out there, but the Bucks might be among the best, like you said. So,
and if they are really among the best this year, like changes the whole calculus on the defense.
Yeah.
It takes so much off your cornerbacks. It takes so much off your middle linebackers. It would be like the happiest birthday present ever for them to be good.
There you go. Yeah, I think we were having this conversation either off camera or last week, but talking about that Super Bowl defense where like they had Shaq Barrett and JPP coming off the edge with Vita Vea and Dominican Suh, and it was a disgusting defensive line, and so it made Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis, and Jamel Dean look like not that bad of a secondary. And then those guys left, and it was like, oh shoot, like this isn't good. Maybe they could have that with Zion McCollum and Jacob Parrish. Although Jacob Parrish
is solid.
Yeah. But maybe they could make Zion McCollum look worth his contract, which would be a lovely thing because he has not. It's tough. But speaking on this same kind of topic, I guess we could say, before we get to the preseason game itself, because it's week one and we'll have plenty to talk about moving forward. But Baker had some comments that were kind of fun. He was like, oh, the Bucks are going to surprise some people. And, you know, Baker, he always has to have a chip on his shoulder and all that stuff. Right. But I wanted to get your thoughts on if they're actually like a team that's going to, like, if they're actually a surprise. Because in my mind, most folks have them winning the NFC South. Like, I don't really see too many people that are banging the table for the Saints or the Panthers, and no one's optimistic about the Falcons. So I don't necessarily see where he's coming from here, other than just like, I get the bulletin board material and just trying to hype yourself up. Which, go for it. You know, he's the leader of the team. That's what he's supposed to be. But realistically, I don't know that I see the validity in this. Do you?
It's hard to say because, you know, are the Saints for real? I hate to be the talking head guy, but it's hard to pin down what a second year quarterback is going to look like in the league once everybody has film on him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to be missing Jordan Tyson.
Yes.
I don't know what the backfield is going to look like for that offense.
Alvin Kamara's looks like he's not.
I don't think I could name a single player on the defense.
Yeah. I mean, Etienne's their other running back, but yeah, the defense is really where you get concerned because their offense has the two bookend offensive tackles who are actually really good, like very impressive stuff. And then they obviously got Chris Olave, but Olave is a walking question mark with his injury history. Jujuwon Johnson's a fun tight end, but like,
he really is.
Jujuwon Johnson's a quarterback in college football, but Juwan Johnson is a fun tight end. Is he actually like an elite tight end like they paid him? I don't know. Very good, but I don't know,
I feel,
man.
Like they lost it. Did they lose like Eric McCoy or something like that as well from the interior?
Oh, their center. That's a good question. Let me look that up because that is actually a very good question.
And then on the other side of the NFC South, you got the Panthers. They might actually be pretty good this season. It all again comes down to Bryce Young. The offensive line is still a question mark to me. Chuba Hubbard is the running back, I suppose, but is the receiving core might be a little bit fun. Especially if they had Chris Brazell being healthy.
Right.
Ted McMillan looked like the real deal last year.
Yeah.
And that defense has some pieces too. Derek Brown, they got two pretty good corners. It's hard to say, but I still think the Bucs have the best roster in the NFL.
Right.
By a lot.
And that's sort of my ultimate point with it, is just that like There is a gap on paper between the Bucs and the rest of the NFC South. Obviously, the game's not played on paper, blah, blah, blah. And they have Todd Bowles, and they have, you know, Baker can be prone to his own stretch of inconsistent play, shall we say. I don't know. You know, it's tough to say that they're going to run away with the NFC South. I'm not saying that at all. But I think if you ask the average NFL fan or you ask the average NFL analyst, I think for the most part they'd have the Bucs as – the solid favorites, like not overwhelming, but just like, hey, yeah, if you had to pick, like, I think the Bucks are going to win this division. And that's my opinion too. Like I'm fully in the Bucks are going to win the NFC South camp. They're fully capable, but we'll see obviously. So I get Baker, you know, trying to hype himself up and trying to hype the team up. That's what he does. That's his shtick. That's required almost as an NFL quarterback, but I don't know. I didn't necessarily buy it as much. But any closing thoughts on that topic or?
Yeah. I mean, whatever you pick the Bucks to do, I think everybody agrees that they're capped out at like 10 wins this season, maximum.
Yeah, and maybe that's where he's coming from. Maybe he thinks that this team is capable of a deep playoff run, which, God bless him. You know, like that's if you don't think that as a professional
athlete, shout out to Bro.
Yeah, and if you don't think that way as Baker Mayfield or any other member of the Bucks, then you should stop playing. Like you should get out. Like that's I totally get it. Like you need to have that belief, otherwise what's the point? But realistically, I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case, but I certainly totally get where he's coming from, and I totally get the mindset there, but I don't know, I didn't necessarily think of them as people as underselling the Bucks, because they're a pretty well respected team at this point. Like they're,
and honestly, I understand people picking the Panthers or the Saints. I get it.
Yeah.
Bucks
no, I do
terrible
too.
At the end of the last season.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of question marks. Is the defensive line better? Who knows? Is Todd Bowles a good coach? I don't know. Is Zach Robinson a good offensive coordinator? I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Right.
What are the Bucks going to do without Mike Evans? They got to play the games, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of the wide receiver room, there's some tough news coming out of camp so far. Egbuka has a toe injury, I think, and there's like rumors that it's turf toe, which sounds sillier than it actually is, and it's not fun. But not even getting into the rumors, wide receiver room suddenly becomes like, oh, they have a pretty – it's like last season. It's like, oh, well,
injury
they have – yeah, exactly. Like if Egbuka does miss time, like it's Chris Godwin and Jalen McMillan, who
probably also going to be missing time.
Exactly. So Ted Hurst suddenly becomes a really important person. And Tez Johnson, the Tez dispenser, is yet again their wide receiver three. And it's like, gosh, from a position of strength to a position of yikes, let's hope that not another guy goes down.
Right. And that's the importance of having a guy like Devin Culp on the roster, even though we haven't seen any of him. I'm sure Zach Robinson will find a use for him. The dude 100%. Loves to work with his tight ends.
Right.
Payne Durham is a non-factor. Kate Otten was basically a non-factor last season.
Right.
So you're really asking the tight end room to step up at that point. And is the tight end room good?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I do. Yeah, it is scary. And depending on Kate Otten to be your wide receiver three, it is a brutal proposition. It's not a winning one. It's one that could maybe sneak away with the NFC South, but it's not one that's going to win a playoff game. And that should be the goal here. And I don't know what they're going to do with the pass catching room. We'll label it that, since, you know, tight ends kind of get incorporated into that.
Kenneth Gainwell is a solid addition as a pass catcher.
Yeah, for sure. And I struggled with that signing at first, and I will say I've come around a little bit on it. I'm still a little bit like, why is he getting that much money? But at the same time, like, I do think that his, like you said, his role as a pass catcher does rise in importance as the receiver room or the pass catching room continues to get thin. So Kenneth Gainwell kind of becomes a little bit important, and it's kind of tough, but I don't know. It's definitely going to be a storyline to monitor moving forward. I have one of my fantasy football team's names is Tez Dispenser. I kind of dropped that soft launch of that nickname earlier. Maybe Tez plays a pretty big role this season. I don't know. Is his stock rising in your mind because of all these injuries?
I think it kind of has to. He played really, really well last season.
Yeah, he had some fun little flashes. Yeah.
Maybe the best seventh round pick rookie season ever. Really a joke. He had 500 yards, a couple touchdowns. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
You never expect a seventh round pick to do that in the NFL, not as a rookie.
Yeah.
I think that he is. I mean, with everybody healthy, we have the luxury of calling him a wide receiver four. I think most teams would be happy with him at wide receiver three, frankly. As like a gadget, like, you know, this guy's going to get you 5 yards on a screen where everybody else is going to get you one.
Yeah.
I hope he packs on a little bit more weight, cause it's scary to see him flying around out there. I think that he is a solid, like a really, really solid backup wide receiver right now.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, in his limited role last year, when he had to step in, he did have those 5 touchdowns and he had a little over almost 400 yards, a little over 300 yards. So that's an impressive little resume for a guy that, like you said, a seventh round pick, a guy who is probably fifth in the pecking order at best last season going into the year, but kind of thrust into the role as Evans and McMillan went down. I do think that, I don't know, he's probably worth like picking up at the end of your fantasy drafts. Looking
but it's for scary some after him, man. You're looking at like Garrett Green after Tez Johnson. So,
woof. Yeah. I mean, the good news is the dichotomy of him and Hurst is kind of fun, because Hurst is like this big, physically imposing person, and Tez Johnson is like, you know, 150 pounds soaking wet, or 165 pounds is what he's officially listed at. But it's definitely an interesting mix of talent, shall we say, wide receiver room. We'll see.
And speaking of Ted Hurst, he looked good in that preseason game.
He did. That is a great transition. That is a great transition.
First time ever.
There you go. No, you nailed it. I love it. So speaking of the preseason game, they took down the Jets. Geno Smith didn't play. Baker obviously didn't play. But Jalen Daniels, he's kind of the story coming out of this game, which, you know, Drew Aller also looked really good.
Drew Aller looked really, really good.
Carson Beck also put up a really good stat line for the Cardinals in preseason week one. There are a lot of these memes going around. Like, it's like I think it's Jake Gyllenhaal is the actor, and it's like his grandma or something in a movie saying like, oh, you're really impressed with this quarterback, huh? Is it for quarterback reasons, or is it because he just ran a bunch of bootlegs and dump offs and managed to rack up?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, he just ran a bunch of bootlegs, and like, because the average depth of target on a lot of these throws in week one and preseason, like, they're not showing off the playbook, they're not pushing the ball downfield, they're not exactly taking a lot of risks. So like, you know, there's a little bit of an element of that. But with all that being said, I was still excited to see Jalen Daniels go out there and perform because he's an undrafted guy. So, like, they don't have any real investment in the. I mean, they do, but they don't have, like, this draft pick investment or there's not this pressure for him to be the future. Like, oh, Jalen Daniels has to be the guy. Like, no, if he's the guy, then, oh, my God, that's one of the best stories
you struck
of the 21st century. The yeah, if that's the guy. But regardless, I was impressed with him. How much stock should we put into that week one performance, though?
I think him coming in second in that game was hugely beneficial for him because Connor Bazelak looked really, really bad.
Yeah.
at least like from the very beginning of the game.
Yes.
He 100%. Eventually kind of figured it out, but no shade to the guy, but he just doesn't seem to have, he doesn't have the arm strength that Jalen Daniels has.
Yeah. Jalen Daniels
zipping the ball.
Yes.
He's making his reads and he is, I don't want to say he's a sneaky athletic guy because, you know, you kind of think of him as athletic, but he is like a pretty good scrambler for a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I think in terms of athleticism, I think of him as being more in that Patrick Mahomes realm of athletic ability where, like, he's very mobile in the pocket. He's a very good improviser, certainly nowhere
close to. Doesn't have the straight line speed, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Daniels, number five, as we will affectionately call him, doesn't have any of that athletic ability, but he can escape and he's very, like I said, a very good improviser. He would do well in an improv class. So he was fun to watch at least. And I'm excited to see how he can do, in the rest of the preseason, because there's a lot to like there. And, I know the quarterback two spot, like Jake Browning kind of theoretically has unlocked. But, you know, like, he's been hurt, and I think he felt these – maybe he's not feeling the heat. How much stock can you put into the media jibber-jabber and Twitter talk? But, you know, there's some smoke there with Jalen Daniels being potentially quarterback too.
I think it would be a little bit crazy.
It would be. But at the very least, Jalen Daniels is going to be a very high-level practice squad quarterback, which is a really weird and niche thing to focus on. But it's still fun.
I think he has a good chance at being quarterback three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
He could be. I don't remember.
They carried three last year.
Right. And I don't remember how the emergency quarterback system works. Like, if he could be the guy that doesn't count towards the roster, I feel like that's so weird and complicated.
Above my pay grade.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a rule that I'm supposed to be familiar with. But yeah, I was really impressed with Jalen Daniels and Jalen Daniels, right? Jaden Daniels plays for – gosh, I'm going to get those two confused. I got them – yeah.
Don't do that. You're going to get sued.
I know. I'm going to have Mrs. Daniels or whatever her last name is in my DMs telling me to be prepared to face lawsuits. But but regardless, he was really fun to watch, and I think him and Ted Hurst or Bauer Sharp or whoever the guys that he's targeting is, I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch in this preseason. And if you're looking at your wardrobe and thinking, man, I could use a quarterback three for my wardrobe, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code to celebrate the first game of the preseason being done and to celebrate a Bucks victory. It doesn't actually mean anything, but hey, Cannons, Cannons, type that promo code in and get 10% off your entire order. We've got everything for Tampa Bay sports related gear. So check it out. We'd really appreciate it. So yeah, the preseason game, man, I mean, Jalen Daniels obviously was the big story, but I think there were some other pretty impressive performances, frankly. Was there anyone else that stood out, especially to you, in that week one game against the Jets?
Bauer Sharp had some nice highlights.
Yeah, he had some good catches, sure. Yeah,
he looked pretty good. I'm just trying to think of the offense. Sean Tucker, he's got the juice for sure. He might be the best. He might be the best RB3 in the entire league.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. They're paying him a lot of money to be RB3. So, I would hope so.
Coe Kieft was exciting to see him play football again.
Yes,
he's completely blowing past people on the punt coverage and just missing tackles. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
But as a blocker, he adds such a completely different dimension to that offense. I don't even think anybody else really does. He really is like the best run blocker on the team, aside from the offensive lineman.
Yeah, if he could figure out how to even just like pretend to be like an option as a pass catcher, like not even good, but just like
hands up,
pull and release type routes. But I don't think they should trust him running those types of routes, as simplistic as those are. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Anybody else that?
Oh yeah, just trying to think. there were a couple that stuck out as kind of iffy. I know Ben Chukwuma had kind of a rough day at the office.
Yes. But yeah, again, which is a shame. I'm a big Ben fan.
He's... Me too. I'm a Chukwuma truther.
Indeed.
Justin School looked okay as the left tackle.
I was excited
by that. The important thing to remember with Chucks, as they call him, is
still like his fourth year of playing football?
Yeah, he had never played organized football before college.
Right.
And like when he did play last year, he was the left tackle. Right. So, you know, he'd never really gotten snaps at right tackle in the pros. So completely fair.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn.
In terms of the defense, it was an impressive showing from the backups. The secondary looked really good. Aiden Garnes had himself maybe the night of his life. He's pretty solidly going to make the team, I think. I think Pepe Williams is going to make the team as well.
Which is a crazy story. I love that.
Great. He looks fast and physical, despite, you know, maybe not being the biggest corner on the field.
Right.
And that honestly, the game inspired a lot of confidence in me in the depth of the defensive backfield. Cause mm-hmm. it was scary hours. For the couple weeks headed into that, because, you know, the top couple guys get hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. And so having that depth is nice, even though, you know, they're not really playing pro competition in the preseason, but they looked good against backups. So I'll take it.
I think Keontae Scott was the guy for me that jumped out the most because there was like there's a little bit of expectation with him, like not a lot, but like there's a little bit of like, hey, this guy might be pretty good. And so for him to go out and at least look comfortable was impressive for me. I don't know what you thought about his performance.
I thought he played a really nice game as well. Josiah Trotter stood out on the field.
Yes.
With the very few snaps he played, which is do more of that, please.
Yeah. He's super physical. I think he brings an element to this team that has been missing dearly for a long time.
He looked really fast, and we haven't had a linebacker that was fast for a little while now.
Yeah. No, I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. I mean, Devin White was really fast, but Devin White was such a kind of a dingus that it almost didn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No shade to Levante, but yeah, he had lost a step by the end of his career.
For sure. DeMonte Capehart was a game wrecker. You know, David Walker had some really nice snaps as well. Mm-hmm. He really did look like one of the best players on the field. Like the starting offensive line for the New York Jets.
Yeah. I'm really thrilled to see David Walker emerge and hopefully prove some folks wrong, because he would be a great story. Like, missing his entire first season, coming from a D2 or D3, whatever school, and just producing, like, that would be such a cool story. Oh, such man. A fun.
I'm gonna run such a victory lap. I remember so excited about that pick too.
Yes. And if Capehart, if Capehart has a good season, then I'm going
Elijah
to be
Roberts
very annoying.
Had a good game too.
Yeah, I like a lot. And I was excited about Elijah Roberts last season. Going into last year, he showed some signs, showed a little bit of promise too. So hopefully some of those guys can contribute, because it's Kalijah Kansi and Vita Vea and A'shaun Robinson. And then after that, you know, there's some spots that, you know, and injuries happen. Like, obviously they have to rotate in and out. So Elijah Roberts and Capehart could play some pretty key roles.
And you figured Vea is going to play roughly 50% of snaps. That's pretty much been a snap count for his entire career.
Yeah.
And he has definitely dealt with some injuries in the past. Kalijah Kansi hasn't been able to stay healthy his whole career.
Yeah. So
you figure that those guys are going to end up being pretty important.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And Greg Gaines is unfortunately off the table for the Bucs. I forget where he signs, but he signed somewhere.
I remember seeing that headline.
Yes, because it was like, oh, the Bucs veteran has signed elsewhere.
Godspeed, soldier.
Oh, he's on the Bills now. Yeah, the Bills signed him. Okay, good for him. Good for the Bills. Hopefully they have fun together. No shade to Greg Gaines. He was fine in his role or whatever. But
a loyal soldier for sure.
A loyal soldier indeed. That's kind of it for the Bucs preseason and for all the Bucs storylines. But before we go, I did want to ask if there were any guys around the league that impressed you. I know we touched on Drew Aller and Carson Beck, but was there anybody else that kind of stood out in week one preseason now that it's over?
Drew Aller really did stand out to me.
He
really did have a nice game. I think it's the first time I've ever seen a Steelers quarterback, at least since Ben Roethlisberger, It's the first time I've seen a Steelers running like quarterback throw over the middle of the field.
I know.
I don't think that had happened before that.
No, because they went through that really dark era with like Russ and Justin Fields and now Aaron Rodgers. And
well, and you know, there was Kenny Pickett in between there.
Too. Oh gosh. Oh man.
Yeah. It's nasty.
Let's not mention any of those names ever again.
I think Mitchell Trubisky played a couple games there too. It's tough.
Oh man. Because I think Trubisky and Pickett combined to beat the Bucs in Brady's last season.
Honestly, I look back at like the game logs from that season. I don't remember any of them. I completely blocked that season out of my memory.
Yeah, because it was there was that stretch where Brady the Bucs lost to PJ Walker, Kenny Pickett, and Mitch Trubisky like within a 2-week stretch because Pickett and Trubisky like split time with the Steelers. One of them got hurt, and Brady looked awful. And
I have to go back and watch those games. I don't remember any of that.
It was brutal. Yeah, it was not great. I think they managed to sneak into the playoffs still and lose to the Cowboys. But
I do remember losing to the Cowboys in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was an embarrassing loss. It was really bad. Yeah, they lost at home by like.
I think we beat the Cowboys to start the season too.
I was really excited about that season, and none of that excitement was well founded. It turned out to all be hogwash. What are you going to do? Regardless, Brady's gone and Baker's here, and the Bucks look primed and ready to hopefully contend for another NFC South division title. We will be here with you along the way every week. We're going to be back next week. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. Give us a follow as well. But we'll be back next week to break down their second preseason game. And we'll be talking about any other players that stood out, how hopefully Jalen Daniels did. Maybe he'll have another good game, or maybe he'll remind us all that he's an undrafted rookie and that's going to come with some struggles. But regardless, we'll be here to talk about it. So until next week, until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.